Yesterday, Yaroji explained that when doing sitting meditation, one has to note rising and falling of the abdomen as primary object. But there is difference in noting when one is doing walking meditation. So during walking meditation, yogi has to keep the attention on the feet and note lifting, moving, and placing. So there is difference in noting between the sitting meditation and walking meditation. During the sitting meditation, yogis are asked to note rising and falling of the abdomen as primary object. So when there is no other object arising, yogis should be noting rising and falling of the abdomen with aim and effort so that the mind will be controlled and the mind will not go elsewhere. When noting rising and falling of the abdomen, there may be secondary objects that arise. When the mind goes to this new object, when the mind is distracted from noting rising and falling, then yogi can note the secondary object, and then after that, to come back to the rising and falling of the abdomen. During the walking meditation, yogis should keep their awareness on their feet, noting, lifting, moving, and placing. So when noting, lifting, moving, and placing, there may be other objects arising, such as seeing, hearing, or itchiness in the body. So yogi should not pay attention on these objects, such as seeing, hearing, or itchiness in the body during the walking meditation, but they should keep focusing on the lifting, moving, and placing. But if the mind totally goes out of lifting, moving, placing, and if the yogi wishes to note the other objects, such as thinking or itchiness in the body, then the yogi has to stop walking. After stopping from walking, yogi can then note the other objects, such as itchiness, that is obvious. After that, yogi can continue to walk again, noting, lifting, moving, and placing. But if the yogi is walking and at the same time noting other objects, there will be confusion between the objects because the feet is moving, lifting, moving, placing, and at the same time yogi is noting other objects such as itchiness. So when the yogi is noting that way, noting itchiness and at the same time walking, then there will be confusion and his or her noting will be just superficial. So that's why yogis are asked to note the lifting, moving, placing. Yogis should keep their attention. Yogis should keep their awareness on lifting, moving, placing during the walking meditation. And when other object arises, such as thoughts or itchiness, and if the yogi wishes to note them, yogi should stop walking, and in standing position, they can note itchiness or thought, and then after that, yogi can continue walking, noting, lifting, moving, and placing. So this is what is different in doing sitting meditation and walking meditation. So in the text, the example is given how one should be doing walking meditation. So during the walking meditation, the part which should be moving should be moving. So during the walking, it is the legs and the feet that should be moving, but other parts should be still and steady. So during the walking, only the legs and the feet should move, and one should keep still with other parts of the body. One should not be looking here and there. One should just look down. And also, one should control one's eyes and also control one's ears. There may be noises and voices, but yogis should not pay their attention on these voices or noises. Even though yogi has good hearing, he or she must act like a deaf person, not hearing anything. Even though the yogi may have good knowledge, but he or she must act like a dumb person. So Saraji doesn't mean that one should act like a dumb person who does not know how to do things. But even though one has knowledge, one should not be making use of his knowledge. So the person must act like a dumb person. Having faith and confidence on the method of practice, as well as faith and confidence on the teachers, faith and confidence on oneself, one should be practicing with faith and confidence. And one should listen and follow the guidance given by the teacher. If teacher guides and instructs one way, and if the yogi is doing other way, if he or she is doing the way he or she think is right instead of following the guidance and instruction, then yogi will not make progress. So that's why they should listen attentively. They should listen attentively when coming for Dhamma talk and also in their interviews. So they should follow the guidance and instruction given by the teachers. Even though yogi may have good knowledge, they should follow the guidance and instruction given by a trustworthy meditation teacher. They should follow the guidance very accurately, precisely. So this is not practicing, it's not to show your ability, how you can do by yourself, but yogis should be following the guidance and instruction given by the teacher. Even though yogi is strong, when he or she stands up or when he or she sits up, sits down, bending, stretching, moving, these activities must be done slowly, just like a sick, weak person would do. So yogi should slow down their speed of activity to zero. So they should do things slowly so that they can keep pace with what is happening in the body. So in the body, there are physical and mental phenomena arising continuously, one after another. In order to keep pace with these physical and mental activities, one should do things slowly and mindfully. So if one gets up abruptly, quickly, If one bends and stretches abruptly, quickly, then he, she cannot keep pace with these activities. He, she cannot follow them. And his or her noting will be superficial. So, in order to follow the physical and mental phenomena that are arising quickly, yogis should act like a sick, weak person doing things slowly. So Saraji has been watching yogis. Some of the yogis are no different in their behavior, going here and there. So Saraji said, when doing walking meditation, they should keep their attention on the feet, on the steps, lifting, moving, and placing, and they should keep their eyes down. When they need to take something, they should stop walking and then take it. But Saraji sees some of the yogis walking, and at the same time, they are reaching for their pockets in their shirts or their pants. And some of the yogis, they are scratching their head while walking. So if the yogi is doing this, then the yogi is failing to note the primary object, lifting, moving, placing. And also, because the person is reaching for their pocket, scratching their head abruptly at the same time of walking, their mind is not on the other activity also. So in this way, they have no mindfulness, doing two things at once, walking, reaching for their pockets and scratching, so they lose to note the presently arising object. So it will be a loss for the yogis if they are doing that way. So an example in the text is given. If one pushes a cart full of water where the ground is uneven, they should push the cart slowly. So if they push the cart quickly where the ground is uneven and the cart is full of water, then the water will be spilled. So this example was given considering the situation in the ancient India where the road is not even. So if they push the cart quickly, then water will be spilled. So in the same way, when yogis are doing activities, they should do things slowly, mindfully, just like in the example of pushing the cart with care and slowly. So the noting mind should go onto the object that is arising at the moment. Otherwise, yogi will be losing their mindfulness on the object. So that's why Saraji has been again and again urging the yogis to keep the eyes down when doing walking meditation. They should keep their eyes down and they should do slowly, just like a weak and sick person. So walking meditation in Pali is called Jangama. It means to walk to and fro, from this end to that end, from that end to this end, mindfully. So walking meditation is not done in the way of exercise, or it is not in the form of leisure walking. So one should be doing slowly, mindfully. There are five benefits of walking meditation. The first one is adana kamo. The benefit is one can go on long journey. Having practiced walking meditation, he, she has this strength of these legs, so that even when the person goes on long journeys, so the person can take this long journey. And the second one is padana kamo, because walking meditation is done with effort. When doing walking meditation, there are multiple forms of effort in order to walk, in order to live, move, and place, one needs to assert effort. So that is one form of effort. And also, during walking meditation, there is intention to lift, and the actual lifting, series of intention to move, and the actual moving, series of intention to place, and actual placing. So in this way, the intention and the actual movement, they are arising in pair. So these mentality, materiality, are arising in pair, and they keep on changing. In order to keep pace with these mentality and materiality which are changing, one needs to assert effort. So this kind of effort is called atapa viriya. One needs to assert ardent effort. Yogi should note with alertness, readiness, activeness in order to keep pace with the mental and physical phenomena. So in this way, there will be multiple forms of viriya present in walking meditation. So if one lacks viriya, if one lacks effort, then the impurities and defilements can arise, can enter into the stream of consciousness, just like a stream of current. So when viriya is absent, these defilements can enter the stream of consciousness, such as laziness can arise. Having viriya present, one can block the way of these defilements from entering into the mind. Having viriya present, one is not giving any chance for these defilements to come in. So in this way, the path of unwholesomeness will be blocked and the path of wholesomeness will be opened by having multiple form of viriya. So that's why the second benefit is that yogi can assert effort. This is the second benefit. And the third one is appabado hoti. Yogi gains health by doing walking meditation. So by doing walking meditation, there will be good blood circulation in the body, and the body will get enough oxygen it needs. So in this way, the third benefit is that yogi will gain health by doing walking meditation. And the fourth one is, one can digest the food easily. So this is the fourth benefit of walking meditation. One can digest the food he, she had eaten. So there will be good digestion. And the fifth one is, by doing walking meditation, the concentration the yogi gains will be durable and long-lasting. Doing walking meditation, it needs a lot of effort, multiple effort, in order to note lifting, moving, placing with aim and effort. So multiple effort is needed in walking meditation. Especially, there will be multiple viriya in this bhavana. So when the viriya concentration becomes continuous, this effort will become amazingly strong. So virya, concentration, will become strong and it will build up momentum in walking meditation. So if you carry this virya effort you gain from walking meditation to sitting meditation, you also note standing, wanting to sit, and then you note the sitting stage by stage. So the mind will not run elsewhere, but the mind will only fall onto the activity. So there will be collectedness of mind, there will be concentration. The mind will stick onto the object. One will put effort in the practice, and thus sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, will build up. And samadhi, the concentration, will be durable and long-lasting. So this is the fifth benefit of doing walking meditation. The concentration will become more durable and long-lasting by doing walking meditation. So understanding the benefit of walking meditation, one should do walking meditation properly so as to gain all these benefits. So Saraji explained, Samatha Janika, the person who has this tranquility practice as vehicle to attain Nibbana. And Sutta Vipassana Janika, the person who has Vipassana as a vehicle to attain Nibbana. So the person, Samatha Janika, the one who has tranquility practice as vehicle to attain Nibbana, and based on that, they go on to practice so as to gain supramundane knowledge. So such Samatha Janika person, they need to develop Upajara Samadhi, neighborhood or excess concentration, and Appana Samadhi, attainment concentration. Then they can go on to contemplate on the jhana or the consciousness associating with the jhana or their materiality. And by contemplating on these, they develop jnana stage by stage. And when their inside knowledge become matured, they reach their goal of supramundane knowledge. For Sutta Vipassana Janika, the person who has Vipassana as a vehicle to attain Nibbana, they need to develop Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration. In order to develop Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, they should keep their awareness on the presently arising object. They have to note with aim and effort so that the noting mind will fall onto the object. Without Kanika Samadhi, without momentary concentration, one cannot attain knowledge into mind and matter. They cannot develop inside knowledge without Kanika Samadhi, and thus they cannot reach higher knowledges. So only if one has Kanika Samadhi, then one can develop inside knowledge stage by stage until the knowledge becomes matured and attain supramundane knowledge. So one needs Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, in order to gain knowledge. So one should be noting with aim and effort so that there will be Kanika Samadhi. One should accumulate Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration. So without momentary concentration, There is no way to attain knowledge into mind and matter, knowledge into cause and effect, and knowledge into impermanence, suffering, and non-self. So not developing vipassana jnana, one will not gain supramundane knowledge also. So in the practice of vipassana, one should be accumulating kanika samadhi, momentary concentration. One should be noting continuously every single second so as to build up kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, so that it will become very strong. So Saraji gives an example of a rope. A rope is made up of many small fibers. These small fibers are entwined to build up a rope. So a small fiber alone is not strong. It is weak. It can easily be broken. But when these small fibers are entwined into a rope, then the rope becomes amazingly strong. But the fiber alone, two fibers, three fibers, it will not be strong enough. Only if many fibers are entwined together to make into a rope, then it will be strong. So in the same way, when one does not develop kanika samadhi, momentary concentration at all, or if there are gaps between these momentary concentration, it will be weak. So in order that kanika samadhi, momentary concentration be strong, it should be continuous, one after another, with no gaps in between, so that it will be very strong, just like in the example of the rope. So that's why, in order to have strong kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, one needs to be noting all the time, continuously, apart from sleeping hours. So noting continuously the kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, will become strong, and then one will be developing knowledge. So if kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, is not strong, one will not be developing knowledge. So Buddha called this momentary concentration as kanika jete gagata. It means that when new and new objects arise, when the yogi note with effort, the noting mind falls momentarily on the object that arises. So kanika jete gagata means the mind falling calm and collected on the object momentarily. And it is said that kanamata titiko samadhi. It means that when the object arises and when the yogi notes on the object, the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object moment by moment. So this collectedness of mind on the object lasts for a moment. That's why it is called kanamata titiko samadhi. This momentary concentration lasts a moment. But this kanika samadhi has the quality defined as sobi apidoviya citta nichala tapeti. It means that kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, can keep the mind unshaken, firm and stable and calm, just as apana samadhi, attainment concentration, can. So it means that not only apana samadhi, not only attainment concentration, but also Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, can keep the mind unshaken, stable, calm and collected on the object. So how can this Kanika Samadhi keep the mind calm and collected? In what manner? It is said, Patipakkhehi Anabhi Bhuto. It means that the mind is not overwhelmed by the opposite states. So during the practice, yogis can encounter hindrances, nivarana, such as kamachanda, sensual desire, as hindrances. But Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, can keep the mind unoverwhelmed by these hindrances, so that the mind will be free from these torture of these hindrances. So that's why Kanika Samadhi can keep the mind calm and tranquil, not the mind not overwhelmed by these hindrances. So this Kanika Samadhi should be continuous, so that the mind will be free from the disturbances of these hindrances. So it should be continuous. Pavadamano, it means that this Kanika Samadhi should be continuous, just like a stream of current. So the objects will be arising new and new. However, objects are arising new and new, the Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, should be continuous, just like a stream of current. Nirandara, it means without any gaps in between. Even though the objects will be one after another, but the Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, should be continuous without any gaps in between. So the succeeding concentration should be continuous with the preceding concentration. So in this way, they should be continuous. So there will be various objects arising, such as rising, falling, sitting, touching, warmth, heat, cold. Whatever object it may be, even though there are various objects, but the mind is kept calm and collected on whatever object that arises without any gaps in between. So the concentration has no gaps in between, just like a stream of current. So that this concentration is very firm and stable. So that's why Saraji urges the yogi to accumulate Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, so that this Kanika Samadhi will be continuous without any gaps in between. So some of the yogis may think that to note every single second on these objects, which are very delicate, subtle, and minute, it is not possible. They may think so. And they may think that Syaraji is pressuring the yogis to note every single second, which is impossible. They may think so. But Syaraji said, he is not pressuring on something that is impossible. Because it is possible, Syaraji urges the yogi to practice every single second, and it is possible. When Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentrations, become strong, when one develops knowledge, the concentration, Kanika Samadhi, will not deteriorate, even if the yogi purposely try to ruin it, but it will not be ruined when yogis get to higher knowledges. So when they attain higher knowledges, this Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, will not be ruined even if the yogi purposely do something to ruin it. The noting mind will automatically fall onto the object when one attains higher knowledges. Even if the yogi try to test himself, herself, with raga inciting objects, dosa inciting objects, the mind stays calm and collected, not agitated by these defilements. Saroji gives an example of boomerang. In Australia, the player throws a boomerang, but the boomerang keeps on coming back to the player. So in the same way, when the yogis attain their higher knowledges, even though yogi purposely put his or her attention away from the meditation, the noting mind will keep on coming back automatically on the object of meditation, just like a boomerang does. So Saroji will continue to explain next day. Sadhu.